make a way. I know that he will. I've seen it and he will. Oh, God will bring you out. I know that he will. I've seen it and I know he will. If you just let him make a way.
We're coming to you live from the beautiful city. Well, I'm coming to you live from the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee. We have others out there in area code 440, area code 216, area code 400, area code 901. We just want to say thank you and welcome to the program today. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. Amen. On today, we had a wonderful song there. Amen. We have Missionary Ken on the line with us and his wife, Sister Ruth. We're going to ask Missionary Ken to give us a prayer to kick off our program. We're going to ask Sister Ruth if she will just give us a scripture reading. Amen. And we're going further in the program. Hey, we want you to enjoy the good music on today. There's a word from the Lord that's in my heart, and I pray that it bless you on today. And we're just going to let God have his way. Amen. Is that all right? I know it got to be. It's all right with me. I just learned.
Amen.
Trust and obey. Amen. Amen. Come on. Let's go in that order.
All right.
All right, I was going to give the honor to Six this morning to see if he'd give us the opening prayer.
Thank you for that prestige honor, Wolfgang. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're at in the part of the world. Welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you do get your praise on without leaving the house. I want to thank the Lord for waking us up, making us make the woke list. That's right. That's got us to this point right here. I want to thank the Lord for all that he continues to do for us. You know, blessing our endeavors, fixing us where we need fixing, praying for the sick, praying for the shut-in, praying for those who's passed on, just continue comfort and prayer for those that are going through anything troublesome. So just continue to lean on the Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, I have St. Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 to 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That means it goes back to the song. He'll make a way. Amen. And he made that way for us by the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. As we, by faith, receive him into our hearts, he gives us the atonement. Amen. For our sins, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son. Amen. And so we're thankful for that on today. Once again,
Pastor Vaughn.
Hold your question. Well, once again, we want to just welcome everybody to the program. Amen. We're going to get kicked off here. We have our fellowship hall where we're going to have some conversation about a few things in the fellowship time. We like to kick off the program just being mindful of the different things that are going on in our nation, being prayerful for them. And since Missionary Ken has already passed on to Brother Saul, the prayer, because my question to Brother Charles today was going to be the state of our affairs in the country. Amen. We know that we have listeners that's not just in the U.S. We have listeners all over. But one thing that we all have in common outside of the Lord is this world pandemic and the different strains of this particular pandemic. And so we want to be mindful to be praying for those in that condition. And Brother Six, I'm glad that you really included just being mindful of others that are going through that have lost loved ones over the past few weeks here. I've lost cousins and things in my family that just found out this morning prior to the program that one of my cousins, his son, had passed away. He grew up with some birth defects, and they didn't think that he was going to be here this long, but to hear out of the blue that he had passed, that was a little shocking. We do know that death takes place in the world. The Bible says it's appointed to man to die once, and after death, the sentence. So we know death is coming to meet us all, to greet us all. The question is, how will you meet your death? How would you greet it? Amen. I'm glad today because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm able to meet death with a smile, to meet death with a hello, how you doing? But it's not my turn. because they that die in Christ really asleep. Amen. And so we have not fear death. Amen. And death fear is that eternal separation from our Maker, that's God the Father. And so I'm thankful for that. And thank you for the way you prayed today. I know I have the mic open for all of our listeners just to say hello and to give us a greeting, but we're going to go on in the program. I left the mic on because I just want to hear all of you as I give this instruction, and that is to please, let's take this one time at the beginning of the program just to say God the Father, thank you. Go ahead. It's okay to say now.
Thank you.
Pastor Bond, and I was going to say something for a sec. Kenny's dad, James Wolfgang, is in a nursing home, and he's not saved, so we need to seriously pray for him.
Most definitely. Now, that's worth interrupting, Sister Ruth, and you're well within order, because anybody that's not saved, that is something we want to pray for them and salvation. Amen. We want to pray that they will have the mind and the heart to receive the gift that God gave to us all. Amen. So many people don't know that there is a benefit of being saved. They're listening to a lot of other people saying, this is fake, this is not real. And that's why it's so important for us, the believers who have experienced God's grace, who have experienced the power of the risen Savior, to testify of his goodness and his mercy and his love towards us. That's why on Monday night programs, I kick off with a testimony service because if somebody needs to hear that God is still saving, God is still delivering, God is still opening doors for us in so many different ways. So thank you, Sister Ruth. We're definitely praying for him. And at the end of the program this evening, towards the end, remind me, I would like for you to lead that prayer at the end, if you don't mind. Amen. If we just pray for anyone at the stadium, and however the Holy Spirit gives you to pray at that time, okay? So thank you, Sister Ruth. Amen.
I think Emily was trying to say something, but I hope I didn't interrupt her.
Okay. Well, Sister Emily,
didn't have quite a real quick question for you, Pastor Bonnet.
All right. Come on with it so we can move forward.
This morning, I was watching Pastor Calhoun's church. Was that Sister Calhoun that gave the message?
She gave the first message. Amen, which was the inspirational message. And then what you saw was Mother McCool, who you saw her bring the main message. So we had a wonderful time in service.
That was a very good service.
Yes, we did. We did. This was Women's Sunday. And so if you have testified to all of them, I've already been to church tonight. I drove up the road about 45 minutes away and then came back, and we done had a wonderful time in service already. So I done got a kickstart on the rest of y'all. Amen. Even though
so
I won't come back this morning. Amen. And we'll come back to that in the fellowship hall. And hopefully today, it is my desire to do what she did. It's to drop off some nuggets to really encourage the hearts of those that are listening today to trust God and to take God at his word. Amen. And now let's take a few commercials, and we're going to keep moving forward.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And
we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service. To charge up in a small group community. To live out using your gifts and passions. And to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young, and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
This song is not for you if you've never cried a river or had your heart broken in two. This song is not for you if every day you wake up the skies are blue. But this is for anyone. No matter how you pray, the pain won't let you get through. But you try and you try.
If you're a miracle, God has always made a way. If you have food to eat, a place to sleep, and you really can't complain.
If you're a man.
I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
everyone else
around me
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walks you off, said you would never make it, what did he teach?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
Yeah, girl. And that he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his.
I'm his.
And it doesn't matter what
I did. It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me for who I am.
I had a witness tonight. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you'd never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did
did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
Amen, amen. He saw the best in me. Amen. That statement alone is enough for us to rejoice at. That statement all by itself is enough for us to take notice on. A lot of people may see you, but they only see you from their point of view. Let me be clear about this. Many people in this world will see you, but they can only see you from their point of view. Amen. And so let me give you an example of a man that is blind and a man that is going blind because of glaucoma. So the man that is blind, his vision is dark. He cannot see. But a man that has glaucoma, his vision is cloudy. He can see somewhat, but everything is unclear. But a man that has 20/20, his viewpoint of whatever he's looking at is clear within a 20-foot radius, or 20 feet radius. So he can see clearly what he's looking at. So if I was standing in front of all three of these men, standing like I am dressed today, suited and booted, amen, in this black and gray suit, amen. If I told each of them that I was standing in front of them and to describe what they see, the man that sees 20/20 will be able to tell you the color of my shirt. The man that sees 20/20, he will be able to describe the checkerboard within my suit. The man that sees 20/20 will even be able to tell you the designs on my tie. But when you go over to the man that has the glaucoma, he may see me in front of him, and he may recognize that my outer structure is a male built physique. He may also be able to some degree tell that I have on as they say, shirt and tie, with a vest and a jacket. So he may be able to see some outlines. But if you ask him what colors are they, then he's going to meet some challenges. If you ask him about the content or the material, there's going to be yet some more challenges. But yet he will be able to tell you I was standing in front of him. And now the man that is blind, he may ask the question, is there somebody there? He may have a sense that there's someone standing in front of him. And without being able to use his hands or his body to feel whether or not there was someone there, he only has a suspicion that there's someone there. He won't be able to tell you whether I'm a male or female unless I open up my mouth and begin to voice towards him who I am and what I am and what I have on and so on. He won't be able with certainty established that I'm before him. And even if I open up my mouth, everything that I tell him of me, he has to take it at what we call faith. In other words, he has to take me for my word. He won't be able to verify the colors of my clothes. But if he's able to put hands on me, he'll be able to tell that I got on a vest. He'll be able to tell I have on a tie and jacket. He'll be able to tell that I am suited. But he could not tell you whether it was wrinkled, whether it was matching, or any of those things. In life, people walk around with this persona. We see things, we hear things, we suspect things. But unless there be a 2020 vision, there's only so much that we can tell. And I know that it seemed like I gave all the glory and the hype to the man that had 2020. But that man, although he can speak, could not tell you the content of my heart. That man, although he can speak, could not tell you my compassion, could not tell you whether it was great or little. There will be only the outward appearance that he could tell you. He could not tell you whether or not, without knowing me, whether I was a righteous man or unrighteous, whether I was fair or unfair, whether I was just or unjust. He could not tell you those things. And yet we live in a world when on a constant basis people are making judgment about who we are without being able to tell you what we are. Help us today. And there's people that's describing what they see from their point of view without being able to examine the inner content of it. It's not like going out picking out an automobile. Many of us that had to go and buy a vehicle, whether it was used or new, the thing that you begin to inquire is about not just the outer appearance of it. The outer appearance of the vehicle simply only grabs your attention. But because you wanted the vehicle for a purpose, you had to inquire about the ability of the vehicle, see will it meet the need of the purpose in which you were trying to purchase it for. Am I helping somebody? I hope I am. And so you need some other information that your eyes cannot tell you. Your eyes can't tell you how much gas it used unless you read it on the sticker. Mm-hmm. Your eyes can't tell you how often the oil need to be changed unless you read it on the sticker. Matter of fact, your eyes can't tell you what kind of gasoline that goes in it unless you read it on the sticker. Now, there's some information about the spark plugs and the things that cause that engine to run. Now, there's some information about the transmission that caused it to operate. There are some things that you may have questions concerning that your eyes won't be able to tell you. So you turn to testimonials of others that have had that same vehicle. You turn to others that have experienced vehicles like that final assessment. But we don't do that for one another. We make assumptions many times because unlike the man that has the glaucoma, we simply operate in darkness. For me to judge your heart without seeing the content of your behavior, whether or not you've shown love to one another, will be for me to prejudge you on that basis. Well, for me to not judge you properly at all, A lot of times I hear people say, you can't judge me. You can't judge me. The Bible says don't judge. Well, today the preacher is telling you the Bible don't say don't judge, period. It doesn't say that. It says, it do say, judge not. But it weighs more information in that, that we'll read it in a little bit. We're coming back to it. I want to start off today going to the book of Psalms. Those of you that have your Bible, you're going to need it today because we're going to let the word of God speak to us. Amen. We find in the book of Psalms, the 100th division of Psalms, the 100th division of Psalms. Now, there's one verse that I wanted to read from it, but as I was writing it down, I just felt in my spirit to read all of it. And so we're going to read all of it. It's only five verses. But we're going to do a little reading. One thing I found to be true is I really don't have to defend God's word like I thought. Oh, once upon a time, I was trying to be a defender of God's word. And nothing wrong with those that feel that they need to defend the word of God. But I found this out. It defends itself. Yeah. It was like if you and I was walking and a single individual walked up that wanted to fight, I don't need you to fight for me. I know how to fight myself. In fact, I might be a little bit better fighter than you, so let me handle that. And so I found out that God is a better fighter than you and I. Yes. He's the Lord of hope. He's the one that has never lost a battle. And so when it comes down to the word of God fighting a battle, I found out it's just best for me to let the word of God speak for himself. So I learned how to be a page turner. I know how to be a scripture speaker because the word of God will defend itself. See, we see that Bible folded on the coffee table and we see that Bible, some put it in their cars in the back window, and some have it in certain places of their houses. Some have it in the bookshelf with other books. Some have it packed away, collecting dust. But you can never see the true content of that book until you get on the inside. And just like searching for a car, you're going to have to get on the inside. When you open up that new car, and there's an older called the new car scent. I don't care what kind of spray they have. There's never a scent quite like the new car scent. You smell it through and through. It does something to you. But you can get a nice car that has been detailed real well, and you open it up, and it can smell good, too. I like to think about that when it comes to me. I got to talk about me. God has cleaned me up. And although I had some things that made me stink, there's a smell called his blood. Yeah. Glory to God. Don't preach, preacher. I'm about to get stirred up right there. His blood that covers me. And it changed my scent. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. And so what I used to smell like that no more. Let me get back to my lesson. We're in the book of Psalms, 100 division of Psalms, and the word reads, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, forth, all ye land. That's whether you save or not save. Everybody can praise the Lord. Everybody can make a joyful noise. You know, this is football season, and many of us have our favorite teams, and even some of the prelims of the preseason basketball was playing the other night. Mm-hmm. And so many are observing their teams playing. But every now and then, the opposing team or your favorite team may do something good, so good to you, say, hey, my goodness, that was a shot. Oh, man, that was a pass. Oh, man, that was a lick. Woo, man, there's a noise that come out of your mouth. Mm. And even though you ain't cheering, sound of it was one of recognition. The Bible said, make a joyful noise, one of recognition. Ah, unto the Lord. Somebody got to recognize God for he is. Woo, my Lord. Slow down, preacher. Slow down. Don't take it there. Don't take it there. Don't, I got to tell myself. Because that's something y'all just don't understand. I really just want to shout right there, because when I speak of the goodness of Jesus, woo, and all he has done for me, never mind what he's done for you and you and you and you. God bless you for you, you, and you. Hey, but when he showed up on my behalf, and he answered my need, and he resolved my issue, you can't shout loud enough for me. You can't cry loud enough for me. Hallelujah. He's been good to little old me. Ah, glory to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. So back to the scripture. Glory to God. Ah, let me put my cap on. These calls. Eyeglasses. Home eyewear. Amen. Make a joyful noise. Not just any kind of noise, but one that shows your celebration and your appreciation. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I just want to say everybody, everybody, say that me. All ye land, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That's why here on the 6 Ives Gospel Show, we kick it off with some music. Why? Because we want to come before the presence of the Lord with singing. Amen. We want to come before the Lord with some joy for noise of thanksgiving. Amen. Maybe you didn't get up this morning and you told the Lord thank you for a brand new day full of brand new mercies and opportunities. Maybe you didn't do that. So take time right now. Go on, take a few seconds and just tell God, God, I thank you that my name made the woe list. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna wait. Tell him again. Tell him again from your heart. God, I thank you that my name made the wokeness. I was able to stand on my own. Glory to God. Amen. I was able to sit up and in my right frame of mind. I had a reasonable portion of health and strength. Glory to God. Help us today, Lord. Amen. So David said here again in the book of Psalms, the 100th division of Psalms, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. That means there ain't nobody above us. It is he that have made us. Uh-oh, that's a perspective observation there. Some of us act like God made, we made God. I'm sorry, they may have made some Buddha statues and some Hindu statues and some Baal statues and some calf statues and this statue and that statue to pray to, but they made that. Who we pray to as believers is who made us. We didn't make him. We didn't imagine him. He spoke. Our very creation itself speaks that is one of intelligent design. So whenever you doubt whether or not there is a God, look in the mirror. And if you see you and there's a level of intelligence within you, you will recognize, just like the painting didn't just appear out of the blue, there was an artist. That means there was somebody that prepared it on that canvas. And this canvas that's called Earth, God prepared us for it. Or he compared it to endure us. Amen, somebody. So verse 3 again is, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are and the sheep of his pasture. Mm-hmm. Our God is a good shepherd. Amen. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Never go to church sad and broken. You can go there broken, but understand, start thanking him as you're coming in. You may have some issues that still need to be worked out, but start thanking him as you come into the sanctuary, as you go into the house of faith. Why? It's because of that glad attitude, knowing that you're going before the Lord, that already conditioned him to answer your request. Because you came in thankful. And see, if you're thankful, you're not judgmental. You're not unappreciative. Remember, all month long, we're dealing with the attitude of gratitude. Thankful to the Lord for just having the opportunity to say to him, thank you. You'll realize how blessed you already are. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. How do you bless the name of the Lord? You bless the name of the Lord by when you call upon him, you add something with it. God, you are mighty. God, you are wonderful. That's how you bless him. If you were going to bless me, the way you bless me is you uplift me. Now, that uplifting may be putting a $100 bill in my hand that go on, preacher, and take your family out to dinner. Oh, yes, hallelujah. That's sure enough a blessing. Preacher, help you check, man. Take care of your all your bills this month. Oh, glory. You added something to it after you called my name. That's how you bless the Lord. A lot of people saying they are blessing the Lord, but what comes after them calling on the Lord is them begging for stuff. Mm. But if you want to bless him, you add something. Oh, amen. Let's keep on reading. Let's keep on reading. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That should be our attitude when we get up in the morning. God, I thank you. To change your attitude, we need to develop that. The understanding of every day is a present. Every day is a gift. Every day is an opportunity to keep loving on God. For the Lord is good. He's good, y'all. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Start off with that, to be thankful. That was my primary verse. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. A lot of people are not going to the sanctuary or to the house of prayer and during this pandemic or haven't been. And so you haven't been entered into those gates of thanksgiving. You haven't entered into his gates. But the Bible said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So have you dedicated you to to the service of God. Then if you have dedicated you to the service of God, when you get up each morning, before you get busy doing anything, you're already at the gate. You're at the gate of your conscience, at the gate of your subconscious. So be thankful. Be thankful that you have the mind to say thank you. Be thankful that you have the mind to know that it is him who's made you and not you yourself. So we have this observation of being able to see every day God's grace in us. We ain't dealing with the circumstances of life yet. Just being able to get up, to have a reasonable portion of health and strength. And it's amazing, many of us want to blame God for our health, but we didn't take care of ourselves. That's not God's problem, that's our problem. But he's merciful, says verse 4-5. His mercy is everlasting. So long as there's life in you, God's mercy can still operate for you. That mercy says, well, you should be in this condition, but I'm going to lessen it. You should be on dialysis, but I'm going to just make you have to take some medicine. I know y'all don't like that. But when you don't take care of what's been given, it's going to go down. I talked about purchasing a vehicle. That vehicle going to have two things for sure that needs to happen on a regular basis. And they are gasoline and oil. On a regular basis, if you drive that vehicle around, you're going to have to change the oil in it. Or the oil going to end up breaking down and tearing up the engine. You're going to have to, on a regular, show enough regular basis, if you're driving daily, you're going to have to refill with gas. Now, you can shout all you want to, say God worked a miracle all you want to, but if you don't put some petrol in that vehicle, that's gasoline, y'all. You're going to be driving, and all of a sudden, you're going to go, and all of a sudden, it's just going to cut off on you. And then don't get up there with the sanctified self and go, the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. Nah, the devil didn't do nothing this time. You forgot, mister. Ma'am, you did not fulfill your obligation of responsibility. So oftentimes, we want to blame the devil for our misdeeds. But we haven't upheld or held to our obligation. There's an obligation on us. And since we are made in his image and after his likeness, it's only right for us to tell him thank you. I mean, you wouldn't get up in the morning to wash your face and see cold in your, look in the mirror and you see cold in your eyes and you see stuff on your beard or your face and simply say, okay, wipe your face one time, not checking to make sure all the cold out your eyes, not making sure everything is clear out your beard, not combing your hair or fixing yourself up, brushing your teeth. You're not going to say, oh, okay, I need to do this, this, and this, and then walk away and say, God, I put it in your hands. God said, no, sir, no, ma'am. There's some toothpaste over there. There's some mouthwash over there. There's some soap over there. You get that in your hand. I don't know how I'm going to finish this, Brother Charles. I didn't need to get out the first. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scriptures I really wanted to read, and I only read one. Lord, help us today. Amen. And so we can't ask God to do what he's given us to do. But we should be thankful to God that he's given us another opportunity, because this is another day to do those things again, to do them better, to do them right. The scripture says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God don't want to just dwell at the church house. He wants to dwell in our house. You and me. And so it is our obligation to purify the house of the Lord. That's why the scripture said, be ye holy, for your heavenly Father is also holy. None of us will have a mud party in our home and the following day throw an all-white party thinking everybody going to remain clean when we didn't clean up from the day before. I gave that for those that have the vivid imagination. There's something about when you put on all white, you are not trying to drink no red Kool-Aid, no red soda. You are avoiding things of color because you're fearful that it may spill on you and mess up your wife. Or when you have to engage in those things, you're very careful about how you do it so that you may remain pure or all clean that entire time. We could do that in the natural. How much more should we do that spiritually? Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. All right, let me move on. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, this is probably my favorite scripture of all time. I think it's the first one that I learned as a little kid. Maybe this and probably the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These are things that were deposited in me at a very young age, and I never was able to forget these particular scriptures. So this one here, again, I think it's probably my favorite. So much of the Bible that I enjoy. But I like this one, and I can't really tell you why it's my favorite. I just tell you that it just means something to me when I hear it. In simple, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I can't tell you without being long-winded. I can tell you, but I will be very long-winded. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Speak, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It shall be opened. There's that it again. I see. I want you to underline that in your Bible if you got a paper Bible with you. Make note of this, a mental note, that here in Matthew 7, he says, ask and it shall be given to you. It. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it. And what? It shall be opened unto you. For everyone, how many? You say everyone, don't say everybody. What's the difference? The difference is action. For everyone, that means it's personal. That means this is not a generic thing. It is very personal because it says for everyone. That means it's tailored design for your life. That act receives, and he that seeketh find it, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. What is the it? I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. We're still there. Matthew chapter 6. Another one of those favorite verses that I like to quote all the time. And that is Matthew 6 and 33. It says, but, that's a conjunction. That means there's some things that came before it that were significant. But he said, even though those things are significant, pay attention to what's coming next. But seek first the, not a, the kingdom of God. Not your kingdom, not your paradise, not your imagination place to be. Not your perfect world, kingdom of God. So if you don't know what a kingdom is, and you don't know God's will, then you can never understand the kingdom of God. And certain things will always elude you without that proper understanding. When I said elude, that means avoid you. That means stuff you will always miss and not have and not benefit from because of lack of understanding. The word says, my people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. So it's the thing that you don't know that has hindered your upcoming in life. But seek first the kingdom of God. And his, not yours, not mine, his righteousness. And all these things sound like it. Because it are things shall be added unto you. How are they going to be added? They're going to be added through your action. They're going to be added through your speaking. And they're going to be added through your knocking. Asking is a knowing. That means you have to know something. Because you can't ask for what you don't understand. Speaking, sometimes you know there's a need, but until you really speak out how that's really needed, what the need is for sure, then you'll never have the right understanding. And that knocking, when you come to my house and there's no doorbell to get my attention, there's a knock. To let me know that you have arrived and you're seeking interest or my attention. You're asking for me to come to the door. For everyone that acts, receives. Because I fought the kingdom. I'm operating in the kingdom of God. So because the kingdom has all needs, whatever I'm asking is within the kingdom. So I can receive it. He that speaketh, if I've been sent to go get it, I got to go in the direction he sent me. That means I must be looking, I must be attentive. And when I get to where I arrive, the way the door opened up for me is my action again by knocking. You want a job, but you don't want to fill out an application. You're not going to get a job. God will open doors for you. He'll make new positions for you, but you got to go out. So you have to have the right mindset. You got to watch what's coming out of your mouth. Yeah, but you ain't heard how they talk to me. But if your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you are speaking as the temple of God, then you are operating in the authority of God. So you have to be careful when you say, oh, I'm sick. I want you to listen to the words. Oh, one of pity, one of sadness, one of unbelief, one of doubt. I am sick. Exodus chapter 3, 14. Exodus 3 and 14. And God said unto Moses, I am. Wait a minute. Who's talking to Moses? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Well, brother preacher, how the hell? Well, let's back up a verse for you to get the right context. Verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. That's what I'm doing today as a preacher. I'm coming to you because God sent me to preach. How can I hear without a preacher? How can he preach without being sent? Here I am. And the words that I'm saying is the words of God. So here's Moses in a dilemma because he's been sent to the children of Israel to minister their freedom. The word ministry is finding a need and meeting it. They was in bondage, so they needed to be free. Some of us are in spiritual bondage today, and you need to be free. And I'm coming to say to your sickness, to your condition, let my people go, says the Lord. And I'm able to do it because he's giving me power to do it. So right now, whatever shortfalls in your life, guess what? They can be, whatever hang-ups you have, they can be eliminated right now today because the man of God been sent by God to speak liberty to you. So verse 13 in this dialogue between Moses and God, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? Isn't that amazing? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Now, let me backtrack one moment. The word name. I know that many of us, because of where we're taught that name is what somebody called you when you was born. That's true. But in this day and time, names were given based on the experience that was taking place at that time. And a name associated with the children, and it had meaning. So a name had meaning. It, that meaning may have been their expectation, their hope, their expression of whatever they were going through. Jacob's last son, Benjamin, his mother was suffering as she was giving birth to him, and she said his name shall be Benoni. He said, so that means suffering, that means pain. I'm not going to name my child pain, suffering. He should be called Benjamin, thereby changing his identity. So, because this dialect is given to them who have an understanding that names have meaning, and God himself has meaning and purpose. So, that leads us to verse 14. So again, the end of 13 says, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, name. What is his purpose? Who is it? What shall I say to them? God asked, Moses asked the question to them. God answered Moses. One statement. I am that I am. Am. What that simply means, whatever you need, that's me. Huh? Not whatever you want, because some of us want some stuff that's going to kill us. He says, what you need, I am. You need life, I am life. You need food, I am food. You need joy, I am joy. You need peace, I am peace. You need victory over your enemies, I am victorious. So he says to Moses, they need to be free, so I'm freedom. I am that I am. When you are dealing with oppression, you need to be free. God said, I am your peace of mind. I'm talking to somebody. So he says to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am that sent you. So when we say out of our mouth, I am, and add the word sick behind it, I am, Psalm told us, Psalm 104 says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Blessing his name is putting something behind his name. You cannot bless his name with a curse. Sickness is a curse. It's not a blessing. It's not prosperous. So you don't put that behind his name. So you got to be careful what comes out of your mouth. Ah, preacher man, is it that deep? Yes. Let's go to Proverbs. 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Chapter 18 in the book of Proverbs, verse number 21. It says, death and life are in the power. And where power means authority. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We're going to read the rest of the verse, but you can stop right there. So that's where the semicolon is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you and I say out of our mouth on a daily basis matter to this world. Because we have been given authority to operate in the name of God to either promote goodness or to advocate badness. Change is in our mouth. Power of life and death lies within the tongue. That's what we say that all the time. It says death and life are in the power of, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Love it. What's it? Utilizing the tongue. That authorization of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. When you love speaking life, you're going to eat the fruit of life. But guess what? Suppose if you love speaking damnation, then you will eat the fruit of damnation. What if you go around condemning everybody and everything? Then you will eat the fruit of condemnation. And they that love it, the power of the tongue, using your words. It's in the book. Go back and read it at your leisure. You can go back and read the verses before and the verses after to see if I kept it in proper context. Verse 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the food of his mouth. What? Creek of his lips shall he be filled. What? Of course I kept this in context. When people speak against prosperity for the believer, they ain't read this. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. That belly means, you know, sometimes we say in my inner soul, ooh, and we touch our belly. That's your inward part. The stuff that really touch you on the inside that only few can touch. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase field. Wow. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. I like all this. Man, good. And so I kept it in context. Finally, let's go over to St. John, chapter 11. I know many times people are saying, but please, you don't know, man. They're killing me with that word, man. I'm just dying, man. I'm just hurt, man. And we have all of that. And I'm not marking anyone for their pain. Please, believe me. If you're hurting, you hurt. If you're going through something, And I am not challenging to say you haven't gone through nothing, you haven't endured nothing. Many of us have lost family and loved ones. There are parents that have lost their children. That's probably the worst thing that can happen to a parent, is for them to lose their child to death. That is a pain I know not. I don't even know the pain of losing my mother. I know of it, but my mama's still here. My children are still alive. So I know of it, but I don't know it because I haven't experienced it. And I'm thankful that I haven't had to endure it yet. But there may be a time, and I have to be prepared for that. St. John chapter 11, verse 25, and I'm going to try to close on this. Amen. St. John, chapter 11, verse 25. The dialogue here is that they had sent for Jesus. And the situation was one that needed what we would have said, immediate attention. Lazarus was sick. He was so sick, still, the Bible records him dying. So indeed, he was sick unto death. But before he died, they knew that Jesus had the authority or the power to heal him. They knew it was in Christ's ability to heal one of his own family members. They knew that he had the power to touch this man and to restore this man. And oftentimes in life, we go around knowing that God has the power to change our circumstances. But for one reason or another, that circumstance doesn't change. In this situation here, in this story, we see that Lazarus had actually died. And many that used to be superstitious, they believed that the human soul sometimes lingered around the body about 3 days, 2 to 3 days. This was a superstition of that day. And it has passed on to many, even in today's society. We've seen television shows that show that when the person dies, that their body hovers over them and they look down on themselves and they're able to see themselves for a period of time. And so in that same fashion, they believe that a person could linger there about 3 days. So this is how God broke the superstition. He waited. The journey that he had to take was took him because he traveled by foot. And so they sent for him to come. And he lingered. He waited And he waited. Finally, he says, our brother Lazarus is sick. Let us go and heal him. At this time, Lazarus was already dead 2 days. And so he takes his journey, and his disciples are walking with him, and since he had lingered, they was willing to linger some more. Sometimes we're like that when it comes down to praying for one another. We figure, oh, they've been dealing with it for a while. They'll be all right. That's why many times, I try to make it my purpose for somebody to ask me to pray. I try to pray then. Why? Because life happens. And we forget to do. We inadvertently skip that process. But Jesus said to the disciples, nah, he's sleeping, so we must go now. And so them not understanding what he meant, they said, well, let us go and sleep with Lazarus. Sometimes people, they want to feel what you're feeling, but they don't understand. So Jesus had to tell them, listen, Lazarus is dead. Then they realized that he wasn't talking about a normal sleep. He wasn't talking about an ordinary sickness. He was talking about something that had separated this man's soul from his body. So he goes to see him, and as he goes to see him, meet him before he get there. And so before he gets to Bethany, he's on this journey, and when they see him, they said to him, if you only been here. And I can imagine any sibling. Sometimes we go through these grieving moments when we say to God, Lord, if you had only been here, then my brother, my sister, my child would not have died. I'm serving notice to you. The only reason why Jesus wasn't there because Jesus was in his physical body. But God as a spirit was always there, right there, all the time, observing. He knew what was going on. It was part of his plan. And whether we understand the plan of death or not, it's still part of his plan. And so this dialogue takes place between Martha and Mary. And Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. He wouldn't die, Lord. I know you love him. Because you said so. But you let him die. And a lot of times we're facing situations in our life where we're blaming God for allowing something to happen. We forget that the obligation and responsibility of change in the world, he gave that authority to mankind. You and I, as born-again believers, have the power to change circumstances. You and I, as representatives of the kingdom of heaven, have the authority to make decrees in our Father's name. But she did not stop with the accusation. I thank God. She said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, the Father, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said to her, thou brother shall rise again. Somebody said, once again, she didn't understand. She didn't understand because verse 24 records her saying, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection and at the last day. And so many of us are looking for the resurrection and the last day. So many of us are looking to get to heaven. So many of us have given up on earth. Our only hope is in heaven. No more dying, death. We are going to be with King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. So we're so focused on heaven till we are missing the obligation of earth. Pulled me to what I told you, St. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, hear these words, I am. Her hope was in the resurrection, and he said, I am, not a resurrection, but the resurrection. We have to put our hope in God the right way. Not God as an additional thought, resource. Some of us treat the word of God like it's a resource, forgetting that all resources are depending on him. Thank goodness it shall never be, but if God stopped being God, then what would keep chaos from destroying the universe? What would stop it all from existing once again? Nothing. But because he is God, everything stayed in the operational form he released it in. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection, Thomas. And the life. So many people have life, but they don't have the life. They're not saved. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. To us that need to be born again, Jesus said, that's who I am. I'm your redeemer. I am the one, as any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New. Not revived. So you don't get saved and keep on doing your same old dirty habits, the same old bad deeds. You let them go because you're being purified from the inside out. And the light. He said, I am the resurrection and the light. He, on an individual, He that believeth in me. Though he was dead, yet shall he live. I know that sometimes you feel like your migraines are about to kill you. Though you may be dead, yet shall he live. I know, husband, you saying my wife is killing me. Though you may was dead, shall you live in Jesus. I know you say on the job they are killing me. Though you were dead, yet shall you live. I know I gave y'all a lot today. Remember this verse if you don't remember nothing else. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, that believeth is a continuation. I mean, you can't believe today and don't believe tomorrow. Can't be in and out. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Boldest statement that could ever be made. Notice I didn't say religious. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, that Christ talking, shall never die. Then he asked her this question. Believest thou this? I want to say to you, brothers and sisters that are listening to me today, men and women, boys and girls, what do you believe? Because what you believe makes a difference. In whom do you believe? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it is by faith we are saved, not of ourselves. It is by faith we believe. 26 says, and whosoever, somebody say, that's me. I'll be a whosoever. I am a whosoever. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me. That word liveth and believeth in the King James is an action word. Whosoever lived or once believed in me did not. No, that is not what it says. It don't mean that, and it does not apply that. Whosoever continual live and believe in me. That's why the apostle said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So let me go back. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asks, believeth thou live. And that's what I'm asking you today. The preacher has come and he has preached to you today. I haven't preached to you my name, my my title, none of those things. Because those things may open certain doors here in the world, but they do not grant you heaven, and they cannot send you to hell. But the Word of God is for us to live thereby. So I'm asking you, believers, thou this. Do you believe my message today? If you believe my message today, understand that means tomorrow you don't have to suffer no more. In fact, starting now, your suffering can end. And I'm not talking about you ending your life. I'm talking about you now beginning to live your life, enjoy your life. In the midst of pain, in the midst of struggle, it is in your mouth, declares the Lord. What things are you are confessing out of your mouth? When you develop an attitude of gratitude to say thank you, remember on last week I gave you, you have to have that attitude to appreciate everything that God is doing. So when you get up in the morning, you get up with a thank you. Thank you, God, that you made the walk list. Thank you that you have a reasonable portion of health and strength. May not have all your family members, but thank God for the members that you do have, whether they save or not save. May not have a job that you really wanted to have, but thank God that you have a job. Forgiveness. Forgive people who have hurt you in your past. You got to let go of that pain. Remember, forgiveness is your gift to yourself. It's not for them. It is the way that you free yourself from hurt of the past. And you say, well, preacher, you don't understand, you don't understand, you don't understand. All I do understand is he said, I am the resurrection. So maybe they killed your hope. Maybe they killed your dream. Maybe they killed a whole lot of things. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't believe in me, though you were dead. Yet shall you live. Let that go. Stop jumping to negative outcomes. When you hear something that's going on, don't automatically assume the worst. I'm not telling you you can't prepare for bad things, but don't assume that it has to be as bad as it can be. Oh, I found a love. I found a love. It's cancer. My auntie died from cancer. My sister died from cancer. And I'm the same age. They have died. And I'm not mocking you. All I'm saying is power of life and death lies in your tongue. And if I am is dead, that means you have declared that God is dead in your life. If I am can't heal you from sickness, then you have accepted the will of the sickness and not necessarily the will of God. When you are a renter, you go to the owner to complain about the maintenance work that needs to be done. You upkeep the things that are broken beyond your capability. You give it over to them. When it's beyond your capability of repairing, fixing, then you give it to the Lord. But upkeep is your responsibility. I cannot complain about the carpet when I won't use the vacuum cleaner that's in the closet. I can't complain about the pet hair getting on the closet or them doing their business and I won't clean it up and then complain and say they need to fix this carpet. No, I damaged the cotton. I allowed it to do that. So there are certain things that won't change because of what I did. But if I begin to do the right things now, I can revive the cotton. I can revive the situation. The walls may have some holes in it because we got attitude problems and we punch holes in the walls, but I went down to the hardware store and bought some plaster and bought some stuff, repair kit, and I've gone and utilized this, and I made the repairs. Now I'm not a painter. I don't know how to paint, but at least I made the attempt to plug up the holes, to fix that which I broke. Oftentimes we want God to fix everything, and we expect for him to do it for free. Yeah, you may not be able to do all of that, and you may want me to do it, but as the super, I got to charge you. That ain't fair. Is it fair that you tell myself, and I pay for it? All of you have said no. Because if you own something and somebody else tore it up, you expect them, if not to fix it all, to meet you halfway. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. I belong to it. Like it or not, believe it or not, I am the Lord. And he holds me accountable to certain of you. Because he know what he put in me. He know what I know. He know what I don't know. He know what I can do, and he know what I can't do. So stop saying, I can't do nothing. My mama failed. My daddy failed. I can never go to college. Nobody. Stop that. So don't conclude just something on every outcome. Stop thinking negative thoughts of yourself based on what you think other people are thinking about you. Truth of the matter is, after they did what they did and said what they said, they gone, they minded their business, they ain't thinking about you. While you still suck on those negative emotions or what you assume that they're thinking. They've gone on. Whether they said something harsh, whether they were kind when they said it, whether they were blunt, they gone on. You have to move on too. Forgive that. Move on. That's all I'm going to give you. There's some more I can give you. We're going to meet you on Monday night to share some many things with you on how to correct the attitude of gratitude and how to just be better people. We learn to come from the world. That's five. I got five principles I want to give you on that. Amen. Principle number one is appreciate everything. What? Appreciate everything. I ain't appreciating everything. I don't like that. You can say what you want to say. I ain't got nothing. All right, fine. You ain't got to appreciate everything. You're going to be the one that's bent out of shape. I can't believe they gave me that. I can't believe. That's you because you ain't learned to appreciate everything. When you learn to appreciate everything, then stuff will stop sitting you down. And you'll stop being down. Because you have took the position of refusing to be offended. You have took the position to understand, don't nobody owe you nothing. Unless you're going out and work for it and those are your wages, They don't owe you nothing. But I did this and this for them. Oh, so you only did good to them so you can get good back from them. Well, yeah, I ain't trying to say it like that. I'm just trying to say, when they was in need, I was there for them. Now I'm in need. Why they can't be there for me? Who said they had to be there for you? So your expectation was something unrealistic. Had they been there before you cried? See, we don't ask the right questions. We make the assumption. Do they even really know that they're going through something right now? Well, they should know. They should know. Hold on. You ain't got to fight with me. I'm just trying to help you. I started out talking about we can only see what we see based on our point of view. So I can end on the same note. What you're going through, they can only see it based on their personal point of view and understanding. Hey, God bless you. God love you. Amen. I'm so glad that I had this time to share with you this message. Man, I hope it blessed you real good. There's so much more I really want to share. These messages right here, I don't try to really preach them real hard. I just simply want to communicate them with you because at the end of the day, we all go through something one way or another. But it is how we continue to deal with it that makes a real difference. When we really learn how to depend on the Lord, as scripture you say, trust in the Lord with all that heart, all that mind, and lean not to your own understanding, He'll direct your path. A lot of times we don't do that. You know, we expect people to do certain things, and, you know, we don't know God's plan for their life, you know. And so we get out of shape. And so we got to realize that God, when we say God is in control, we're saying God is sovereign. But God has given us control. God has given us as believers, as His children, He's given us authority. And so there are some things that we as children of God must have faith in. Amen. We must have faith in God's word to do the things that God has said. So faith to believe. Thank you for joining us today. We're going into our bank time, and we'll have a little fellowship time after this, but we want to say thank you. So you don't have to hang up in a few minutes. Stick around. We got some Bloodhound of Scripture coming up. Amen. We want you to always have an opportunity to sow with us. And we have two platforms that you can sow with us. And those are PayPal and Cash App. Either one of those, if you're using PayPal, you can donate to this program to help keep these programs going. If you have PayPal, the company, has an email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-S-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. And your gift, be it small or large, is greatly appreciated. For the Cash App platform, simply type in $6i24. That is $6eyes, the digit number 2, and the digit number 4 for your Cash App. And once again, we say thank you in advance. We love you with the love of Christ. You're perfect. You're just we want the grace of God to continue to be with you and to carry you through all of your troubles. Know that He's there, giving you another opportunity. In our bonus times, God bless everyone. I pray that you enjoyed the lesson on today. The mics are open. Amen. We want to thank Sister Ruth for giving us our scripture reading on this morning. She gave us four wonderful verses. Amen. Out of the first book of the New Testament. Amen. And we'll let you figure out what chapter and verses from that. Amen. As she comes, and we're going to ask her to pray for our nation as a whole and those that are going through some issues right now, not being saved and what have you. Just have God will lead her heart to pray. We want her to have the liberty to do that, how the Holy Spirit will give her to pray. Amen. I thank all of you that are still on the line. We definitely appreciate you. I hope something that I said today encourage you to look positive, to stay positive, to keep going after the things of God, keep believing in God for better, and not to lose hope in the things that God has stated concerning you. You may not see it yet, but hold on. It's coming. Amen. Y'all still see y'all on the line.
Amen. Amen. Great message.
Great message. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Matter of fact, since you were the first to speak, any one particular season, it may be many, but Is there any one particular thing that kind of stuck out with you the most on today's
message? Yeah, the fact about the petrol. You know, you run out of gas, then you wanna blame God. So I like how you reference that, because you can reference that into everyday life situations. So that is cool. We have to hold ourselves accountable as well. And like you said, don't blame everything on the devil, because, you know, he doesn't do everything wrong. You know, so we have to basically take accountability, you know. So I like that part. But overall, just a great message.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great observation.
I really
Amen.
Enjoyed the service today.
Hello, Tony.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And one thing that stood out on me is when you spoke about your sickness. You know, we always try to blame the devil for whatever we incurred in our life. And I can name a whole lot of things that happened in my past history with my family and, oh, because my dad had this, or, you know, we always blame it on something that happened previously. But I believe what God has for you is for you. And you do not embrace on the bad things. Always thank him, because thank him with the good and the bad. Because, see, he wants you to be that testimony to tell somebody how great he is, despite the storm you've been through.
Amen, 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 amen.
So I really
Amen. Amen. You are that hidden gem of an evangelist. You know, sometimes we're walking down the street and we just see money, and it was something shiny that caught our eyes, and we'll reach down and pick it up. But thank God it's free money. Amen, and we'll use it later on. Amen. And I want to speak that to you. You're that hidden gem. Amen. That. And I use the word evangelist on purpose. Amen. I'm gonna let the Holy Spirit continue to minister to you on that. God will use you like that. What we call loose chain. But somebody gonna need a loose chain. Amen. Somebody. And I feel God. Oh, folks, get it up. I feel the anointing. Seems like every so often there's a mighty strong word that will come to you, and it'll be just for one or two particular people that you're talking to. You can imagine yourself talking, Lord, but so many can use this. So many. And God said, no, I purpose you to bless them because they did it now. And for you not to concern with yourself about little, because he said, despise not the days of small beginnings.
Okay.
There's so much more. You are that hidden gem. That means God, regardless whether you're on the front of the scene, in the middle of the scene, at the end of the scene, your value is still the same.
I thank you for that.
Amen. There's so much more I can say. That's enough. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Anybody else have a takeaway from today's message? Amen. There's a few of y'all still that thought here. Anything stuck out to you in particular? Let's see. I think, Sister Emily, you still there with us?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Anybody else? What stuck out to you? Where you at? Take yourself off mute.
Yep, all the mics are open. Anybody else?
Now, you know what's funny? What's funny is when, you know, people are speaking and doing the message, people want to jump in and speak. Now the floor is open and nobody wants to speak but myself and Tony. And so So where is everybody at?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's what happened earlier.
Wow. Where's everybody at? Ruth, Ken, Emily?
You know what? I'm thinking something.
Go ahead.
It sounds so cute. But you know what? Six is sounding more like a preacher, and he really is. I don't know if he feels called to preach, but he's been sounding good. I tell you, Six, you just go. And Pastor Bunn, I loved your sermon, too.
Amen. In particular, one thing that may stick out to encourage you or something that you feel that you felt that will be helpful to others, any one particular thing? You can name more than one, but any one particular thing that may stick out to you today? I was speaking to Sister Ruth. Amen. Amen. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
I thought everything was good, that thing. And I'll be honest with you, I'm having a fiber flare, and my mind is off on some other subjects, so maybe I just didn't get all I wanted, but I did hear, and there was a lot to it that I liked. So that's all I can say. When you're having fiber flares, your mind goes off in different directions, so
yeah,
I'll just have to cool it.
Amen. When we pray, that God continue to take your body in. Heal you from it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have to, sometimes we have to buy in those pain of distraction. I had some pain in my right hand, the finger. Amen. But I know the call to minister takes precedence. And so I don't focus on the pain because I stick on the part that my body is the temple of the Lord. So, Lord, you know what this body can endure while we uphold your order. And so sometimes pain can be a test for us to show us whether or not we will stay focused on the things of God. Sometimes our life trials that pop up, they are distractions, but they are there to test us. Bible said, let no man say when he's tempted of God. So we know God is not tempting us to eat. But James said, count it all joy when you fall. When, not if. He was specific. He said, when you fall into direct temptation, that means there's going to be a lot of things that's going to tempt us one way or the other. But our faith is to remain focused on God and in God and to trust God. And the more we practice that, the more God helps us and deliver us through whatever it is that we're going through, that we're enduring. I didn't preach all of it, but the whole point was that she said, Lord, I believe God going to give you whatever you ask for even now. And her mind was on the resurrection, the last day. But the truth of the matter is, he was there to bless her now. That's where I thought. He was there to bless her now, and he did. He said, show me where you laid it. Show me where you laid it.
Right.
And they took him to the tomb. They said, but he said, roll the stone away. They said, but he stink now. In other words, they didn't put no embalming, no oil on him to keep his body from smelling and decaying. They simply put grave wrapping on him and put him in the tomb. And
what kind of wrapping?
Grave wrapping. In other words, they just simply wrapped his body. Instead of putting on, like we put our funerals We put people in clothes. We dress mm-hmm. them in that. And that's the way they're. That's the way their body is preserved, one way or the other, or go into the ground. It's whatever we put on them. When they wrap mm-hmm. their body, part of their custom, they wrap them, and so it's called grave
okay.
wrapping. You think about an ace bandit.
Okay.
Wrapped all through your whole body. So they wrap
mm-hmm.
his body. So he's all wrapped right. up from head to toe.
Kind of like a mummy.
Yes, yeah, sir. Grave wrapping. And
okay.
And so he's in the tomb, and he's been dead for 4 days. So his body has entered into decay. And they didn't use embalming fluid back then, so not the Jews. The Jews didn't do embalming fluid. They believe in allowing your body to go back to the earth naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I think one part of the testimony, if they put them in the ground, the casket would have holes in it so that the soil and stuff would come through and the body would enter the state. But certain ones had tombs where they would put them in. Inside the tomb, and that's the other reason
mm-hmm.
why the bodies were wrapped, so that the bugs and stuff that would come to eat up from their flesh, the wrapping would kind
mm-hmm.
of hinder that by the fat. But so anyway, that's a whole other thing.
That's interesting. Now let me say this. First off, we want to thank you all for joining us here on the 6 Hours Radio Network. We're here 7 days a week. For your enjoyment, you don't just have to listen to this program on Sunday, but you can have the gospel show anytime you want because we are available. For those of you who have the iPhone, okay, all you have to do is go into podcast. And when you open up the section that says podcast, you simply type in 6 Eyes Radio, that's SIXEYES Radio, RADIO. And all the shows are available on demand, so you can have the gospel show on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, whatever day you want and need, we're here for your enjoyment. We're here for your encouragement, the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Now, Ruthie, it's funny. Where's your husband? Where did he disappear to?
He's here. He's just.
I'm kind of just more enjoying everybody. And you already mentioned the part, of the best part of the message. Before I got a chance to say it, about the automobile and running out of gas.
Okay.
Oh,
I've heard
about
you
got
to beat me to the punch. So
miracles happen with your car.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a little concerned. I said, now wait a minute. I said, now the one that we love to hear. I said, where is he? Okay, there you go. Okay, so he's still here, everybody.
They have all our good preachers here.
Yeah. So I was just kind of enjoying it today.
Okay. Did you know they want to hear your voice? Okay. Tony, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. And I would love to have you on the show and give your testimony because you have a great testimony as well. We had Mama Six Eyes on the phone with us, but her call apparently dropped. So we want to say hello to her.
Mama.
Hey,
sweetie.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say hello to our family, our friends, your family, your friends.
Hello,
and,
everyone.
Everybody. Yes. And everybody that supports the 6 Hours Radio Network, we do appreciate you. We have a lot of countries that we're in. And, you know, with this pandemic being what it is, it's just a joy that we're able to gather, you know, and spread the gospel, share the gospel. So that's a beautiful thing.
Amen. Man, I tell you, I have this, you know, this wonderful Samsung Note.
Here we go. Yeah.
And it was amazing to me. I saw that same thing podcast. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So I can go this podcast right from here to click of a button. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's so nice. I'm glad Six told us about, you know, just being able to type in Six Eyes and just go directly to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice thing to have, the opportunity to just to going to share. Reflect on episodes from the program throughout the week. We have so many here on the Six Acts Radio Network.
You can, yes, sir. You can go all the way back to 2011.
That's a long way.
Yes.
That's a long way. Every time then, I think we need to go back and one of the things I do, I write my sermons and I date them. And so every so often I go through my old notepad, different things like that, and I sit there and read stuff that I've written before just to see if I can see a level of growth and development in the speaking or consistency. I think it's always good to go back and to look back and see what you've done and to encourage you to keep going, to keep moving, keep going forward, because sometimes it's easy to stop. It's easy to stop, but, they say that it takes a long time for a train to stop, but it actually takes more energy for the train to start. Well, stopping can be easy. It may take a little while, but it can be easy. It's getting started.
Yeah.
And that can be the challenge. That's why it's so important that we start the day with a thank you, God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that I woke up. Because, well, I mean, we all had them days when you woke up and you're like, and you lay right back down. And your body said, yeah, I hear you. You say, and you said it to yourself, I need to get up. And your body said, yeah, but we're laying down right now.
That's happened to me. And I tell you, I try to go to sleep with some music. I try to go to sleep with some TV because I can tell that if I'm extremely tired, I will sleep through. So I try to keep the iPad near me. I try to keep the TV on, something, so I can kind of keep track of time, because if everything is off, I'll sleep through. You know, so that's how I try to keep something on. You know, so hey, well, it's this time, it's that time, because that's how I, figure out what time it is, outside of asking Alexa or Siri what time it is. That's how, if a certain show is on, okay, it's this time,
And you should tell them how to get a talking watch. It'll tell you the time all the time, every hour, right? You might get a kick out of little talking watches.
Yeah, I got to find out where to get one of those watches, because I know Ken got one. I have to figure out where to get one of those at.
Talking watch.
They got all kinds of things.
Well, we'll get you set up, Six. I know where exactly to set you up, and that's part of what our blind industry does.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So we'll get you set up.
Okay. All right. Now, Tony, what's on your mind? How's the grandkids?
Oh, everybody's fine. They helped out with my sister with her 70th birthday. She had a bowling party, and they said my grandson, he stole the show. Him and Janiyah bowling. Yeah.
Okay.
Nana didn't make it, so I'm so glad they showed up and showed out for their granny, because I can't make every event. Working at two schools a day, that's enough for me. My brain is messed up, and I said, well, Lord, just keep me under your wing to do what I can do for those kids at school.
Yeah.
Third, fourth grade, fifth grade math. I do that, and I volunteer. So.
Oh, you're a volunteer? Yeah.
I don't do the science. I do the math. Math.
Okay.
I tutor with math third, fourth grade.
So are you in the classroom as an aide or as a tutor?
I'm in there as a granny, which we work for a nonprofit organization with the foster grandparents, and they are not allowed to pay us. If they pay us, it's through a stipend program, and it's way below minimum wage. I thought it was like an insult, but you can't pay me the time that I give to share with those kids and give them love and give them time, because they say, Granny B, you helped me pass the test. Yeah, just giving games and flashcards and stuff like that that I can help them with. I can't really give them answers for the test, but I can tell them if they're right or wrong to keep trying. And then I set up the homework packages for the teacher. I do a lot in the classroom, which I one of the teachers told me that you missed your call and you should have went on and finished your early childhood, like 15, 20 credits. But, you know, I have a lot of sickness that, you know, put me really behind, but I keep going. Nobody would, Charles would probably tell you, and he can't see, but he's been knowing me that I have been through the storm, but God has picked me up.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically to carry me through what I've been through. And
yeah, she
going back
she definitely
to
moment.
14 with all kind of things going on in my life. And I said, Lord, just show me the right way to go. And I could be the testimony for someone to show them and to give my time and patience to someone else.
Amen.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
That's what
absolutely. I guess Joshua 1 and 9 is for you. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna read it to you. I'm gonna let you read it, because you might go to shouting on the phone and ain't gonna know what's wrong.
Oh, with I might, cause I. Oh Lord, yes, yes, I want to know. My baby in the shouter. Okay, I'm writing it down because I took a lot of notes too. So you say Joshua, what verse?
1 and 9, chapter 1, verse 9.
Okay.
It don't matter what version you read.
Okay. Yeah, I have a couple Bibles too, but I said yes. Whichever one that I can digest and do the right thing with, that's what I do. And then I break it down. If I have any questions, start speaking or call my auntie. She's 86 years old down in Georgia, and she'll give me the word. And then my uncle, he stepped down as the minister, and he's 91. So he's letting the kids take over the pulpit now. He's sitting back retiring, and he's hearing me every time you turn around. Oh, you want me to send you some? I said, oh, no, I'll go. I'm
he can send it to me.
I got to say something for Charles, because Charles like all that wild food, like he's with my uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we down south, we like to eat. They say, what's
oh,
you like, food?
Yeah.
They say, huh?
Oh,
what
yeah.
Kind of food you like,
food?
They say, what kind of food? Food.
Yes. 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 And my sisters, they still put
it like that. I'd be better off telling you what I don't like than trying to tell you what I like.
Did it tell you what?
Yeah. I don't eat sushi. I don't eat pee. Ain't enough meat on it. Ain't enough meat on it. So, but I eat everything else.
What'd you say? Everything else.
Pee and chicken. I don't eat. But everything else?
Fish?
Oh,
you don't like that fish. We used to catch fish. My brother used to have hooks caught in his head. My daddy said, oh, let's get it out and keep on fishing. I said, oh, Lord,
that's
daddy, I'm scared.
Yeah, the catfish, they ain't got no teeth. You can literally grab them with your hand and slap them on.
Catfish don't have no teeth?
The catfish don't really have no teeth. Their teeth so small. A spickle bird do more damage to you than a catfish.
Mm.
We call them spickle birds.
Yeah. Now, Tony, did you hear this story? They said, what's the name of that lake? Okay, you know where the duck pond is?
Down there on 72nd?
Yeah, so somebody said there was a huge catfish in there. So that's what's rumored. It's like a huge catfish that's been living for, like, ever in those waters.
And a lot of lakes, a lot of lake ponds. a lot of ponds, people that live there, if they catch a big catfish and they tag him to know that he's been there a while, anybody that catch him, they'll put him back. Because it is now kind of like it's like making history or being kind of historical. People begin to look for it. So you'll be out fishing, hoping that you may get a nibble from you, just to say that you caught the big one.
Yeah.
Brother, he's always fishing. No, and then he used to go to Port Clinton, but now he. You know, since his heart is bad, he can't drive. He has to stay, you know, local. But no, he haven't said anything, Charles. I'm gonna have to call him and find out.
Yeah, because I've heard that like when I was little. Because my grandfather used to go fishing, and they used to go up to all like Virginia, different places going up fishing. And when they go up, that's a day. It's a day. They have their liquor. Spirits within the Bible.
They get all
everybody,
their stuff.
So they get all their stuff, gather the drinks, amen. And they go up there, talk that yang, and they fish. And they come back. I'm talking about with coolers full. I mean, it was one time. Mm-hmm. And it was one time, you know, I never told my grandfather this, but one time a whole cooler of fish went bad, you know, and because didn't nobody clean it. And it was a whole cooler that went bad. But
when you bring that fish back, call her. She will clean. We had to clean outside. We had a scale thing. Daddy made us come home and clean that fish when he came home. We couldn't put nothing up until it was clean. Then Mama put out the cast iron skillets, and she was ready to fry some as soon as we got it.
There's almost nothing like fresh fish. There is nothing like fresh fish. Fish today and to that fresh fish, when you catch it, little lake here we went through, we caught what they call brim. And brims, it can be, if you ain't careful, you know, it'll have, because it's small, the bones are small like whiting. But they don't break off like the whiting. But when I tell you a good, fresh fish that's just nice and flaky, but not too flaky, when you find that brim, it makes your mouth water for more.
Amen. And if you are
I'm from Florida, so when I got here to Memphis, Memphis is catfish heaven, country.
Oh, it's bad. I get them.
they catfish everything. For me, coming from Florida, catfish is like, what? Where the orange ruffin? Where the flounder?
Right!
Where the fucking trunk? What y'all talking about? This catfish, man.
You say catfish?
So we went to what was quote-unquote called a seafood restaurant, and I promise you, they had catfish every kind of way you think of, and one other fish, I think it was, it might have been tilapia. It might have been tilapia, but what I tell you,
no white bass, no black bass, none of that.
When I tell you we were so broken and disappointed, we're like, y'all need to remove your name. That don't need to say seafood. If y'all gonna call it seafood, spell it S-E-E, not S-E-A. we were looking for crabs and stuff. We used to go, you know, seafood shacks in Florida, sometimes they'd be off the bait. And you get the whatever you order, it's fresh. Ain't nothing frozen. So when you go to all you eat, you don't care about spending $30 because seafood, you think about the oysters, the scallops, and the, all the different types of crab meat. You ain't safe. Matter of fact, that's the only thing. You go to a seafood restaurant, the only thing that should be frozen is your king crab, your snow crab.
That's what I was getting ready to ask you. What about the crab?
Them the only thing that's supposed to be frozen because they are northern fish, and they freeze them on the ship. Before, so when they catch them out there in the ocean, they bust them up, move the gut, and they clean them on the ship. That's why they all taste the same. Everywhere you go, you can't get snow crab fresh unless you live up there.
Blue crab.
Blue crab.
A lot. When I start traveling, I better find out. Yeah, I'm taking these.
Pastor Barnes looking for some good gator tail, though.
Listen,
me, gator is so good.
Ooh.
I mean, the taste of gator, somebody said it tastes like chicken. No, it do not.
What does it taste like? I think my dad, we used to have all kind of wild food.
Gator is not real hard gainy, like if you ate frog legs. It's not hard like that. If you ate frog leg has just that little extra tang kind of look, but a little extra in it. gator. Gator has a strong seafood taste, but it's not fishy. It's tender to eat. It's not hard to eat. If you ever have a golf fish with his nose like a shark, his meat is tougher than a gator tail. But his skin's like a gator. He has that hard skin. When you catch him, you don't break his tail. You go ahead and you fillet him, and you take the meat off.
I was going to ask, did they split the gator and fillet it like regular fish or what?
Yeah, you try to say you can't do nothing with the skin. So you can't ain't nothing there. So what you do is you take your blade, your flexible blade, and you press down, and you simply cut it off the skin. And it comes completely off. Now, shark meat, believe it or not, if you've seen it, it tastes almost like steak. The texture of it is similar to a steak. A tender steak. I had the privilege of being a seafood manager at one time when I was in Florida, and I done had every kind of thing you could think of.
One moment, let me tell our listeners who may be listening to this podcast later on tonight or later on in the week. We've already had our church service. We're in the basement right now. This is the after show talking about yum-yum food. So just to let you know. All right, you're back.
We didn't talk about our different reading for the day. We forgot to talk about our scripture reading that was read earlier was Matthew 19, verses 23-26 by Sister Ruth. Amen. And so at some point or another, we need to let her come and give the bloodhound of scripture what we're supposed to start out.
She can do that right now. Yeah, she can do that right now. Then we get ready.
I can do it now if you want.
Yes, if you're ready.
Yeah, I got it.
Go Brown.
Okay, here we go. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And be not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay, anybody know where that at?
Somewhere in the Bible. I can't pinpoint it. Corinthians? Is it Corinthians?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
But keep going. You're close.
Yeah, what's the fear?
Think about another people. Come on. Corinthians start with a C. The next letter is D, so there's no D. So the next letter after that would be E. So what Bible starts with, what Bible chapter start with E in the New Testament?
Exodus.
In the New Testament.
Oh, the New Testament.
Yes, in the New Testament. That's right.
Ephesians.
There you go.
It is in Ephesians.
Ephesians. And when we lift up our hands to one another, we say, give me what?
Joy.
Oh, no. When we go to flat one,
no,
hand,
joy
give me what?
Psalm 150.
Not listen.
When we,
what phrase do we say back in the day when somebody lift up their hand, you say, and you do it with little kids all the time. We hold our hand out with all fingers spreaded and say, give me what?
Oh, five.
Okay, so Ephesians 5, and how old before you can legally smoke?
18. 21.
There you
21.
Go. Ephesians. You said the first time that the 21 is drinking. Smoking is what? I know that. Oh, that's what
18.
That thing.
18.
18.
18.
Okay.
Ephesians 5:18.
Okay.
I try to help.
Okay.
All right, Ruthie. So now give them the one they got to sniff out by next week.
Okay. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household.
Okay, one more time.
I know it's a little long. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. Okay, cool. Amen.
All right. And I got
Thank you. Good news.
Beautiful
voice.
She could be a narrator.
She is definitely a reader, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Gifted with that.
In fact, she's already narrated one book for me. It has to do with our pastor's manual.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Actually, I was taught to do this by my grandfather, so I praise the Lord for Grandpa's help.
Well, thank you, Grandpa.
Thank him. Yeah.
So for books that I can't get through the Library of Congress Talking Book Program, I get her to find them through our regular library, a print version, and then I just have her narrate it for me, and I record it.
Oh, that's nice. That is really nice.
Hey, honey, I think we also did a narration for that company that has to do with the alarm system.
Yeah, and then this American Alert that has their one alarm system, we narrated their alarm system so that it would be accessible to those that are blind.
Right.
That was...
That's one.
You know, the manual for the alarm system. So she narrated that.
Okay.
Wow, that's really nice.
Definitely got a
speaking voice. I thought at one time I was actually doing it for a living, but the Lord wanted me to write this book I'm still working on. And
there
I just feel like the Lord doesn't want me to now. I'm on disability and not really supposed to be working, but I think it's okay to write a book.
We're gonna talk good things. Mama?
Hi,
sweetheart.
Hi, how are you?
Tony,
right,
there's Mama.
God bless you.
How's that
God
beautiful woman?
You.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where'd Tony go?
I'm here. Hello, Mother.
Oh, there's Mama.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. It's always good to hear you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Always good to hear you, Mama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a great show.
Yes, I agree.
And we have to congratulate Tweety. She had a good report card. So we want to say congratulations,
oh,
Go Tweety, from the Six Eyes Radio
Tweety.
Network.
Congratulations. See, I told you, just keep praying. Never give up. Just keep praying on her. And I do that with my grandkids.
Yes.
I know they're not moving in the right direction. Just pray and be still. Because God going to work it out. He will fix it.
He always does.
Oh, I'm so proud
of
him. God's still on the throne.
Yeah, and she's working. She's working.
Yes, how she doing? That's good, Charles. You told me. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I said, just when you start, just don't give up on kids. I just pray. I just pray and just ask God to protect them and heal them. And knowing what mom's already going through, she has to do better. And I've just been praying on the. I stay in the background and pray. I send texts out every morning to different people. And they call me back after I get out of school. Oh, Tony, you don't know how you touched me. Lord, you just didn't know I was going through that. You just,
so
I just pick up. I pick
now,
up.
See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Lord,
I'm so glad you testified. I hate to interrupt you, but I don't hate to interrupt you. I have to interrupt you because now I'm glad because God has a way of confirming His word. I called you earlier a.
Yes, you did.
That you minister to a few at a time, one or two. You just testified about sending what out? What type
prayer
of text?
Every morning. Every morning. Send it whatever from my heart. I go and look at a scripture.
And the Lord said, don't be weary in that.
There you go. There you go.
Because you still are that gem. You have value. And what you may have been dealing with, but I'm sure now that your confidence level is going to the next level. Because it's nothing like. I'm telling you, I can't speak for the women folk, but for us fellas, it's good to have our parents in the stand saying, way to go. It makes us want to do more when we hear our parents say, keep going. That's my child. And look at him. So, all I can say is, God decided to give you a shout out today. So, and I promise you, I haven't talked to Charles about you, period. Because I don't know none of this, even if you know it. Nobody but the Lord. Nobody but the Lord.
on our phones are dying on us on our handsets, so we're going to be cutting out for today.
All right. Well,
amen.
I'm happy to be a blessing upon you. Thanks,
right.
And I'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
Right.
Well, we're all going to get out of here. So thank you all for joining us for the Six Eyes Gospel Show. We will see you tomorrow on Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. That's Motivational Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, 8 Central. So good night. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Go Brown. Take care. And remember, go to your podcast section on your phone and simply type in Six Eyes Radio and press subscribe in the top right corner. That's type in Six Eyes Radio, subscribe, and you'll get all Six Eyes Radio episodes whenever you want it. Take care. You just enjoyed Six Eyes Gospel Show.
Reminisce.